If you have your Old Testament, I would encourage you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30 this evening. 1 Samuel chapter 30. As I had mentioned at the end of this morning's service, we were going to be talking about reaching our Ziklag. What to do. Now, you might have went home and you might have looked at some of those things and tried to figure out where exactly is DJ going with this lesson this evening, as most time you probably might ask that question with some of the titles that I put out there. And it piques the interest a little bit. But we'll see, of course, in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verses 1 through 19 is where we'll be studying. If you look at verses 1 through 19 with me at 1 Samuel chapter 30, it says, "Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Verse 4, and David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Onoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abithar, the priest, Amalek's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abithar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook Besor. Then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David, and they gave him bread, and he ate, and they let him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk water for 3 days and three nights. Then David said to him, to whom do you belong, and where are you from? And he said, I am a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion of the southern area of the Jezreelites in the territory which belonged to Judah and of the southern area of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, can you take me down to this troop? So he said, swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this troop. And when he had brought him down, there they were, spread out over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing, because all of the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and out and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. In these 19 verses, we see God has once again worked. And I have some questions with this as we introduce it. How do you deal with it when you are down and out? Do we really have a reliable support group? Do you have a beloved one who sticks closer than a brother? That's what the Proverbs writer talked about in Proverbs 18 and verse 34. We know that there are times in each of our lives when we have to deal with emotional stress. By nature, people try to build and to maintain an emotional support group as we go through our daily lives. But in our culture, we tend to lean on our spouse as a primary pillar of support. But such is not the case in all societies. What do we do when the spouse is gone? I want you to imagine something. David's circumstances that you find in 1 Samuel chapter 30. You notice that he was isolated. Think about if you were isolated from even your extended family. Having spouse, children suddenly taken away, fearing they are dead. Would you imagine that for a moment this evening? What if all of your friends are in the same circumstances and now they're blaming you for it? Uh-oh, we got trouble, right? I want you to consider how David got to this point in his life for just a moment, because I believe this plays a very important role in his relationship with God and why he went the direction that he did here in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Just a few things to notice. We know that King Saul was rejected by God because he didn't totally submit and obey him. That comes important even here in 1 Samuel chapter 30 because of who was being faced. The prophet came and David is called out of the field to be anointed as the next king. We remember that. And David was given a position as a servant of the king and played music for him. After that, he alternated between tending the flocks and serving the king. We all remember the story of Goliath, don't we? The giant challenged Israel and David slew him with a single stone. Imagine that circumstance in your life. And Saul developed a close friendship. Or David developed a close friendship with King Saul's son, Jonathan. Remember that? And then King Saul gave one of his daughters to David as his wife. David joined Saul in fighting Israel's enemies and became a war hero. Saul became very jealous of David's popularity. You remember Saul's thousands versus David's 10,000s that was talked about? Saul tried to kill David, but Jonathan and Michal helped David escape. Saul pursued David for years trying to kill him, to get rid of him. About 600 warriors joined themselves with David and fled from Saul. David had repeated opportunities to kill Saul, but refuses to do so. Saul came into a cave where David was hiding, and David cuts fringe off his robe. David sneaks into Saul's camp while he sleeps, takes his spear and water jug. Each time Saul said he was sorry, but David feared his life, so he left Saul's land. He served Achish, the Philistine king of Gath, for a year and 4 months. That's what you find in chapter 27 and verse 7 of 1 Samuel. And as we work our way up even to our chapter here of what we're talking about, that while he was among the Philistines, David made raids on enemies, killing everyone. But he lied to Achish about who he had attacked, to, of course, win his confidence. Achish wanted David to fight with him against Israel, but the other leaders said no. David and his men returned home to Ziklag, as we read in 1 Samuel chapter 30 of our text. And one of David's raids had been against the Amalekites in verse 8 of chapter 27. So when he got home, it appeared that they had retaliated, but they had not killed everyone. If you notice something interesting in 1 Samuel chapter 27, in this study, you notice that Ziklag does play some importance here. Verse 5 of 1 Samuel 27. Then David said to Achish, "If I have now found favor in your eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you?" Verse 6, what did Achish give him? Ziklag. He gave him Ziklag, it says. Therefore Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day, it says in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 27. So Ziklag was a town that was given to David to reside. David's response was a testimony of his character. And an example for us in all that he's been through. From him we can learn how to respond when our world crashes down around us. I want you to notice here in all that he's been through and why verse 6 really hits home. Because it says he encouraged himself where? In the Lord. We find a lot of people in this world that are looking for answers in all the wrong places. They're looking for them in the wrong places. But David wasn't. We know how he was described in the New Testament, don't we? In the book of Acts. A man after God's own heart. I want you to notice something as our text teaches us about reaching Ziklag. It's a given that David grieved over the loss of his family. And we come to that very point when we read such things that was happening there. That it's very true that bad things do happen to good people, don't they? Some people have the misconception that bad things only happen to bad people. That's not true, is it? And I would submit to you that Satan is an equal opportunity oppressor. I mean, there it is, right? He delights in testing those who follow God, who say, I have allegiance to God. You remember Job was possibly, you know, you think most righteous follower ever of God in the Old Testament we find, and Satan initiated the evil against him. I mean, he was pretty much making a deal, wasn't he? The only reason Job was serving you is because he's been blessed. Job never knew really why the evil had befallen him. Why were these things happening to me? And the story of Job proved that the theory of retribution is not valid theology. It's not valid. The theory of retribution is all good is reward and all evil is punishment. That's the theory of retribution. It's false. There are judgments that occur in the course of time. We know that. Every bad thing that happens is not a judgment against evil, though. But you notice something else. David did not seek to place blame. Did you notice that in our text? How many in our society are the first to start pointing the finger at the why the things are going the way they are? The hurricane, Katrina, is Bush's fault. Did y'all know that? I just want to make sure we get that all cleared up here. So where's the blame, right? The blame is, it's always on someone else. I mean, it happened with Adam and Eve, didn't it? I always loved that one, right? What's this evil? That woman that you gave me. And what did Eve say? That serpent. You know, it just keeps on going. Humans have not changed. It's still the same mentality. It still exists. But David was different. I mean, look at David's men. They blamed him for the loss they had incurred. Wow. Last time I checked, I was on the same journey as y'all were. I'm going through the same things that y'all are. It's not like my family was left and they're here greeting me as I get to Ziklag. Right? He had brought them actually to that place. But he had led the earlier raid on the Amalekites. David could have blamed Saul for their losses, but did not. And I think that's a valid one, I think. I really do. Because if you go back to chapter 15, you know what that chapter's about, don't you? Saul had been told to totally exterminate whom? The Amalekites. Saul did not follow the complete commands of God, did he? David was in Ziklag to escape even the persecution of Saul. So, I mean, yeah, we could see why. Let's blame him. Sounds like a good one. He could have blamed God. How many people blame God today for things and reason why we're in the situation we're in? It's all God's fault. After years of doing right, I'm still a fugitive and Saul is still the king. We can hear that. You promised that I'd be king, but I've lost everything hiding among heathens. Wow, you know. David, even he did not go into a state of reaction. Anytime one goes into a state of reaction, you know, that person has actually surrendered control. Surrendered. And to go into a state of reaction is to step outside the sphere of faith, is what happens. Let me submit to you as well that grief is normal, and it is healthy. But we have to ask the question, what comes next? What comes next? And after David had went through these emotions, emotional roller coaster ride in the first few verses of our text, the 1 Samuel chapter 30, you find this. He encouraged himself. That's amazing. We're going to ask ourselves, can I do this? Can I encourage myself? This has been a prime opportunity for him to have a pity party and say all the things are just not fair in this life. You know? Reminds that little bird on the Lion King, the trouble I've seen. That's what it reminds me of. Here it is. Let's be that guy. No. David encouraged himself. You know, there are times when everyone needs encouragement. We know this. We live in a world that is very troublesome. Very troublesome. Satan wants to dominate. Faithful Christians, even those who are faithful, need encouragement to continue on. But often when one needs it the most, he's the least apt to get it. You know, you think about it, when a marriage breaks up, others sometimes respond, well, it's your own fault. It's your own fault. You know, brethren can be insensitive to those things. We can't always be dependent upon other people to pick us up, can we? Nope, we can't. Every Christian has responsibility to be a source of encouragement to the brethren. Think of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. That's important. Hebrews 3 and verse 13. But encourage one another day after day, it tells us. These are things that we are told to do. It's time, the mindset that we're supposed to have. But once again, others are not willing, always available to encourage us. Verse 6. David's friends blamed him for their problems and they wanted to stone him. They wanted to stone him. I would submit to you that the ability to encourage and strengthen oneself is a mark of maturity. It's a mark of maturity. Can we say that we have that? Are we working towards that? And this is true both in the physical realm as well as the spiritual. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5, for each one will bear his own load. So when you look at David, David had sufficient faith that he was able to encourage himself. What does it mean to encourage, though? Encourage is to inspire with courage, spirit, or hope. It means to hearten. Now, I think really when you get down to it, it was just not the fact that he encouraged himself to hearten, to have courage, spirit, or hope just in anything. It says that he had encouragement in the Lord. David was able to face adversity because of his past relationship with God. I mean, look at all the things that he went through that we just briefly mentioned at the beginning. That's a lot of stuff, isn't it? I mean, he could remember, obviously, facing the bear and the lion while tending the sheep, couldn't he? His mind would go back and remember that. Only one stone he could remember with that of Goliath. Well, if that one didn't stay in your mind all the time, I don't know what would. That's a story. He even knew the history of God's deliverance of Israel from Egypt and all that happened since. You know, you look at these things and I wasn't there, but by faith I accept that they happened. And it just so happens that you and I serve the same God that David served. We serve him. The same one that was with David in all those instances that we just mentioned. We have the account of God's dealings with man recorded for us in the Bible. We know of many more of God's mighty works than David did. You ever consider that? We know more than David did, even. The mystery of salvation by grace through faith has actually been revealed to us. And if we are willing to study, we can know much more about God than David did. Think about your personal life. Every Christian has a personal relationship and a personal history with God. But our tendency is to apathetically drift through life without observing the works of God. Think about every day that we live, how many times do we go through it apathetically? Indifferently. Until Sunday comes around and let's talk about the works of God. How many times do we really think about Him on a daily basis? And talk to Him and let Him talk to us. God has demonstrated His love toward us in the sacrifice of Jesus. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 and verse 8. His providential oversight even in answer to prayers were clearly evident in our lives. God never changes and His promises are sure. How do I know that? Same reason you do. Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 5 through 8. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is what? Same yesterday, the same today, and forever. Do we believe that really? I hope that we do. Matthew 28 and verse 20. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. That was Jesus, wasn't it? God made a promise. Even in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you may be that you will be able to endure it. He has given us a way out. But how many of you are looking for the exit? He promised that He will never let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. These are several promises that we have from God. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. The devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you'll be tested, and you'll have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive the crown of righteousness. Revelations 2 and verse 10. Faithfulness doesn't always appear to pay, does it? Surrender gives only temporary relief. But no one except God will ever care for you as much as you do. We're all about preserving self. When we are down, we really need to give ourselves a good talking to. You know, we think about a personal pep talk. We need that, don't we? Monday's coming around the corner, isn't it? You'll be saying, oh my. Things of this world shouldn't be getting us down because we have a hope that a lot of people in our world don't have, and they have not found. You know, only you can make you happy. We're the only ones. Our personal faith can make us secure. The reason why people have so much trouble, even Christians, is because it's on again, off again, on again, off again. That's not the way it's supposed to be. He found his encouragement in the Lord. Where do we find ours? Ooh, a good book. That's where. If it's not this book, you're not finding the real encouragement. Because this is the book of all books. Don't you notice what David did next, though? David called for a priest. An ephod was mentioned. It's an apron that the priest wore when approaching God. You know what David realized? Same thing we need to realize. The Lord is in control. We see enough around us every day. He's in control. It's within our nature to desire vengeance, but what does Romans 12 verse 19 tell us? Vengeance belongs to God. I will repay. You know that even in the history, God has given victory, but he has also brought defeat. He's done both of those. Proverbs 16 and verse 3, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. How many of us can say that we have committed our works to the Lord? Our plans, are they established with him? And the first step to victory begins on one's knees. Humble yourself before God, the Lord Almighty, and he will exalt you. James, we mentioned that this morning, James 4 and verse 10. When one needs prayer the most, he is often the least apt to pray. You know that? That's true. When one is down and we're out, a lot of times we often forget to pray because we're so focused on the things that's going on round about us. Discouraged people are more apt to doubt. And thus nullify their prayers. So focused on the horrific situation, instead of turning to God for the solution, the answer to all things. I want you to think about that. The picture that I showed you at the beginning of the title slide, Reaching Our Ziklag, What to Do. I want you to imagine that you got home and everything is gone. Everything. How do you think your heart would feel? It's all gone. My family is gone. And even the ones that are with me are blaming me and are wanting to stone me. We focus on those things. That's what makes this so interesting, isn't it? James 1, verse 6 through 8. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. A mind that wavers is not completely persuaded that God's way is best. How many times does our mind waver? Do we really believe that God's way is the best? Some pray as a last resort, then try everything first, and when all else fails, I'm going to pray to God. No. That goes back to our relationship with God. We should be talking to Him every day and letting Him talk to us every day. That's how we build this relationship. David inquired what the will of God was and then acted. Here's an important part too, isn't it? He wanted to know, what is your will? You know, Jesus even said to himself, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not my will. Let thy will be done. We need more people like that today. That's saying, let thy will be done in all things. We have the complete will of God before us, don't we? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It says we have it. God breathed it. But are we using it? We have to approach it with discernment and say, what does God want out of me? Not approach it with selfish ambitions of, you know what, I'd like to see this happen. That's what a lot happens today. It was written for our learning so that there are principles that cover all situations. Everything that happens in our lives is covered by this book. When one reads the scriptures, that person is actually doing himself a service. You know it? We read the Word to learn how to live. We learn how to prepare for challenges that come up. The challenges of this life are tough. You know, as we grow up as kids, we think we know everything. The older I've gotten, I realize I don't know near as much as I thought I did. And I even admit that to my parents today. I don't know near as much as I thought I did. You know, how prepared are we really when we reach our Ziklag? When we reach it? What will you do? What will I do? We're told to prepare ourselves constantly, building ourselves up. Not just wait for the time when it comes and then hopefully we can figure it out. I mean, you don't just jump on a boat and hope that, you know, the thing don't sink. I don't have a life preserver. I don't have any of the things that says I need to make sure I make it back to land. But how many people are doing that today? They call that the leap of faith. God has given us things to prepare ourselves. We're to use them. We're to be working with these things. David was even considered those who were really not as strong as he was. You know, 200 of his men were too weak to make it all the way. It's interesting, isn't it? David insisted that they even receive an equal share. How considerate are we even of others on these kinds of things? Well, our time has gotten a little bit away from us, and I'm going to close the lesson now. But I hope that there are some things that we have gotten out of this lesson. In our text, we have learned several lessons from David. Let me put them before you again. Bad things happen to good people. When bad things happen, it is okay to be distraught. But we don't need to be panicking and we don't need to lose control. A godly person cannot follow a crowd to do evil, even if it appears just. Even if it appears. We learn that God has the ability to take care of those who actually put their trust in Him. And even we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. Those who are mature in faith will not panic. Even when things seem really bad, faith is in the unseen. David was tapping into a source that was outside of the area of Ziklag, of what only he could see. The devastation. Because I have learned that in all the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, God's provision has never failed. Never. Not one time. God has the power to use all things to our ultimate good and to His glory. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Do we believe that? The solution to our dilemmas aren't always in this present life. Life on earth is the beginning, not the culmination of God's plan for us. You know, in our recent study in our series of the final enemy that we talked about, the fear of death or deprivation demonstrates one's lack of faith. The most basic tool of overcoming discouragement is one's individual faith. We too discipline ourselves to never let Satan distract us from our faith. Notice Jude verse 20 and 21, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Are we doing that? I hope we are. That though we must all encourage one another, each of us must encourage ourselves in the Lord. Have we done that even tonight? The ability for self-encouragement is developed over time with much effort and pain. But I will submit to you that spiritual drifters do not prosper spiritually. It don't happen. Let me ask you the questions as you get your supplemental psalm books ready. What will your response be when you reach your Ziklag? You might have already reached it, and I just don't know it. I've probably come close to some Ziklags before. I've had some trying times, some difficult hours, difficult days. We have to get back to the Bible. Don't realize how much good is going on because we focus always on the bad. I ask you, will you have the faith to stand strong and strengthen yourself in the Lord? I ask now, have you reached your Ziklag? When you look at your life right now, is that what you see? Things are burning down all around you. Finding yourself down and out. You know, here's an opportunity to do exactly what David did. Although he had fire and the smoke, the devastation that was around him, Ziklag being burned, his family being taken away. That wasn't the only fire that happened in Ziklag. There was a fire that burned inside him. It was the burning desire to do what's right for God. Maybe we need to light the fire. I think that's an appropriate song for our invitation. Can you say that you need this encouragement? Having put on the body of Christ in baptism to rise and walk in newness of life, from Romans 6 and verse 4, have we become discouraged? Has our fire slowly but surely diminishing in our lives? If so, we're not using the full potential of what God wants us to be used for. We know what the will of the Lord is. We can understand it. We have it for us. If your fire is burning out because of the fires that's existing around us physically, here's an opportunity. And how thankful we have each other for the encouragement right now. If that be the case, won't you come as we stand and sing a song that's been selected?